now on to a somewhat speculative and potentially unpleasant or potentially really exciting subject, which is the All Souls Day election of November 2nd, 2004. I'm going to talk about the chart for the election, not even certain that there is going to be an election. Now, I have my astrological justification for saying that I'm not sure there's going to be an election. I don't really know what's going to happen on November 2nd, 2004, but I've got a nifty little chart here with a whole bunch of asteroids, centaurs, and trans-Neptunian planets drawn in, and the chart I am working with is the chart I'm going to call the Dixville Notch chart, Dixville Notch, New Hampshire, which is the place where voting takes place for about 1 minute. The polls open, about 30 people in that voting district, they all collect at like 11:30, and then the polls open at the stroke of midnight, and they all have a private little booth to fill their ballot out in. They fill the ballot out, the polls close at 12:01, they turn in their ballots, the ballots are counted, and they are the first in the nation to vote by tradition. So I've ferreted out that trivia and have created the Dixville Notch chart, a chart I'll work with also on the print version of this. The internet version is going to be the Wichita chart, which is a chart for the middle of nowhere at 12 in the afternoon. Sorry if you live in Wichita and you're attached to where you live. And it's not the middle of nowhere. It's the home of many great figures from American history. Okay, so a little bit about this this Dixville Notch chart first. First of all, it is Leo rising, and Leo rising puts the Leo rising means we got some drama coming. We have a noticeable, exciting, and something. It's going to be interesting, and it's going to be something we can see and will offer a spectacle. But what kind of spectacle? We go for that. We go to the sun, because Leo rising means that the first planet you might look to in the chart is the ruler of Leo, and that is the sun. And the sun, as always, in the wisdom of the ancient Kabbalists of the founding, in the form of the founding fathers, who created the rules we live by, gave us elections that happen in the time of Scorpio. And so we have a Scorpio sun at 10 degrees and 6 minutes, and the Scorpio sun is square Neptune in Aquarius. Now, that is a little bit distressing. Sun square Neptune in such an important collective chart means that we're going to get lied to. One way or the other, there is a lie that's going to be foisted. The nature of that lie has to do with the Neptune in Aquarius transit, which is something that we are experiencing over a rather long period of time. By the way, at the same time, Uranus is moving through Pisces. I'll come back to that next thought after I finish this. So with the sun at 10:06 Scorpio squaring Neptune at 12:37 Pisces, what we get is a very powerful applying, that is to say, the faster moving planet has a lower number than the slower moving planet, and the sun, of course, moves faster than Neptune, applying toward Neptune, and that means that there's going to be something that just ain't true happening. I mean, it's not that hard to see. Now, next thought that I was going to add there. One super duper interesting thing is that with I didn't even notice this till now. Wow. Is that with Uranus in Pisces and with Neptune in Aquarius, we invoke a rule called mutual reception by degree. And that's a fancy word for saying that in the astrological system, the modern one, that Uranus rules Aquarius and Neptune rules Pisces. Now, there are people who will argue with that and say that the modern, that is to say the newer planets, don't rule anything. But let's postulate that for a second. What that would mean is that all throughout the Uranus in Pisces and the Neptune in Aquarius period, the two planets are in one another's sign. And this is a really it's a distinct condition. It is generally considered a very positive and fortuitous condition. I consider it a condition of choice, a condition that points to options. And in this particular chart, the mutual reception is fully invoked because Neptune, instead of being at 12 degrees of Aquarius, moves to 12 degrees of Pisces, and Uranus, instead of being at 2 degrees Pisces, moves all the way back to where it was around 1996, which is to 2 degrees of Aquarius. And that's, you know, I'm not exactly sure what that means quite yet, and I didn't notice it till I was sitting here with the tape running, but you know, it's something. And one thing that it is saying, it at bare minimum, is that the Sun is both trine Neptune and square Neptune. Now, when there's trines involved, that too can be a very slippery and deceptive situation. And we are likely to be in a situation, once again, where there's two completely different parallel universes, two parallel realities that we get to choose from, and you know, we wind up with one or the other, ultimately kind of conquering the physical plane. But I don't like that whole business about the Sun square Neptune in a public chart with this Neptune in Aquarius. The speculation is, and it's not really all that speculative, is that the voter fraud, assuming that there's an election, and I'm not sure there's going to be one, has a lot to do with the touchscreen voting, which is completely subject to fraud until such a time as they insist that there are paper ballots that are created as confirmation of one's vote, so that there's something for election officials to recount. They don't just push a button on the computer again and say, oh, are you sure? It's like, you know, reading the same email 60 times. It's going to basically be the same email. We need to have paper ballots. And my hunch is that there ain't going to be too many paper ballots in the 2004 election. It just looks all way too slippery. Here's another clue in the 2004 election chart. One of the pointers that we look to understand the use of technology and the abuse of technology is the asteroid Atlantis. And Atlantis is conjunct Mars in Libra, and it is square Saturn, and it is square Nessus. And that Nessus is a centaur planet that doesn't have the best reputation in astrology, but there's a very tense T-square involved between Saturn, Atlantis, Mars, and Nessus. And I don't like the feel of that, especially with a Mars-Atlantis conjunction in Libra. It really invokes and reiterates, as the minor planets almost always do, as they reiterate the story of what the major planets are saying. And so here we have some, you know, a picture of the technological condition involving Atlantis. This is an asteroid orbiting our sun. And that relates back to the prevailing mythology around Atlantis, that like we are doing, they were living in a period where the people were becoming a product of their technology instead of the technology being a product of the people. And this is the subtle shift. This is the line that we are on right now, where we are becoming products of our technology. And that is a line to watch, especially with Uranus going through Pisces. One last thought on this. One of the reasons, two reasons why I'm suggesting here that there may not be an election in 2004 is because, first of all, I don't really see it being possible that Bush is actually going to have anywhere near a majority of the Americans voting for him. He did not have a majority of Americans voting for him in 2000, and things have only gotten worse since then. So I can't see any reason for there to be a majority of people who actually get out of their houses and go to the polling place to actually elect him. And one of the ways to avoid losing is to avoid the entire election in the whole place. And there are lots and lots of ways to get rid of an election. In fact, there are probably more ways to get rid of one than there are to have one. So there's a kind of an eclipse zone in the month of October leading right into the election, including an eclipse on October 28th, just 4 or 5 days before the election. Very, very strange. It is one of those periods where basically anything goes. And that's almost always true with eclipses, but these are timed so intensely, such focus on the election. The second thing is that in the weeks after the election, okay, second kind of weird thing that has gotten my attention about the election is the period after the election. Now, the election falls on the 2nd, and then we enter this this new little zone on the 9th, where we begin a series of planetary occultations by the moon. Okay, so what's that? When the moon makes a conjunction to a planet, it literally goes right past that planet. But normally it'll go past the planet a little bit above or a little bit below. Just like at the new moon, the moon doesn't go directly over the disk of the sun. But when it does, you have what's called an eclipse. So an eclipse is a form of a planetary occultation. And the moon can occult any planet wants that's within that range. It's not going to occult some of the really weird stuff floating around. It's not going to occult some of the really weird stuff floating around out there past Pluto, but it can and does. On the 9th, it occults Jupiter. On the 10th, it occults Venus. And then on the 11th, it occults Mars. And then on the 13th, it occults the sun. So there's an eclipse of the lunar eclipse is the 28th, and then the solar eclipse is November the 12th. And so the election falls in a period between two eclipses, and it also falls in a period right before this whole series of these very, very intense conjunctions by the moon to these different planets. So it's a very unique and unusual. I mean, I've never seen a pattern remotely resembling this where there's both two eclipses and three